So, what makes the original Hooters so special? Everybody wants to know our secret recipe. The answer is simple. We care about our people, the food we serve, our guests, and the community around us. We created a unique experience like no other, like watching your favorite team with an ice-cold beer and world-famous chicken wings served by a legendary Hooters girl. What could be better? To us, originality isn't just one thing. It's everything. Hooters, always original.
Big names, not so big games. I think some of you know what we're talking about already as we review Week 15 in fantasy football with an eye ahead to Week 16. There'll be another episode later this week of the Top Right Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. Your emails always welcome and always answered as long as they are not sent on Sunday. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Write.todd@yahoo.com. Recording this just past 11 a.m. Eastern time on Tuesday following the completion of Week 15 games with the two Monday night games. Right off the top, let me congratulate the four owners who made the championship games in the two leagues that I commission personally, that I reference on my podcast. We have Captain Morgan against Greg, not only a longtime competitor in my fantasy leagues, but also a team captain who just played in Todd Wright Tour XLIX over the weekend, and his wonderful wife was a volunteer for the tournament as well. They ended up winning a Trans-Siberian Orchestra tickets for Sunday night at Amalie Arena. All worked out for them. So it'll be Greg against Captain Morgan. Greg was the sixth seed, just got in against the two seed. Morgan had a first round bye. Morgan loses David Montgomery. We'll talk about that. But wasn't even playing him last week because of the fabulous depth that he has at running back. I attempted to make a deal with Morgan right before the trade deadline, not for a running back. Actually, it was for a running back. We'll get to that because it's all connected. But Morgan looking for a title, and our de facto defending champion, Sean from Bill Curry Ford, who knocked me out despite me scoring 109 high for our scoring settings in the first round. Sean now out and will be paying out this year rather than defending his money as he did last year as a common contestant. That's for Ben Stein, back when Jimmy Kimmel was just a sidekick. That's in the coalition. In the foundation, Ben is going for title number two. In the 10th year of the foundation, we've had two people win two titles. Sean won the first two. Doc, a professor at the University of South Florida, has also won two. Ben is trying to become the third. Ben blasts me in the semifinals. We played three times this year. I took the first one. Ben took the second. It was a very damaging loss for me. Cost me my first round bye that I needed. Somehow I won despite so many of my players being on bye. Week 14 advanced to the semifinals, and Ben handed it to me. And Ben will take on Josh, speaking of my golf tournament. Josh Fernandez is the store manager at the PDQ in Tampa near West Chase Golf Club, catered our lunch for that tournament, came himself with all the sandwiches. Mike Lentz was already playing in the tournament, providing Papa John's pizzas for everyone, which were also part of the tasty lunch. But Josh has found his way to the final. He's been playing Gibbs and Montgomery as his two starting running backs all year. So he's down Montgomery going into the final, and already was talking to me last night about the need to make a waiver claim unless he wants to start DeAndre Swift, which is his only other roster option with Montgomery now for the year. So, and yes, we go to championship week 16. I've talked about this many times here on the podcast and why. For most of you, this is the semifinals. So you will be using these podcasts and I will go probably game by game or similar later this week in a podcast to hopefully give you a second opinion on something that impacts your playoff decision in your particular league or leagues. But we end the season week 16 because a couple years ago, we had three things happen in week 17 that we wanted to avoid. One was the unfortunate cancellation of a game between Buffalo and Cincinnati. One was Jalen Hurts sitting out a game where he was injured, but the Eagles didn't need to win it. So Hurts sat out a top three fantasy quarterback, and Derrick Henry sat out because the Titans didn't, it didn't matter whether the Titans won or lost that particular week. They needed to win the following week, I believe, against the Jaguars. So Henry sat out. So for all those reasons, I said, we're going to avoid week 17 going forward just because of all these issues. When we get to next week, and there'll still be a podcast or two next week, you're going to find some players who may not be able to play for you in a championship scenario because of things out of your control. And that's why I end in week 16, and perhaps it's a cautionary tale for you to do the same next year. I think most of you already eliminate the final week of the season because the games have so little integrity. But we've seen a little of that 2 years ago. Some unfortunate things happen. And I just didn't want that to go again. And for those saying, well, with the cancellation of the game and the reason for it, yeah, but there was no way to recover from that. The season was over. We weren't going to try to do something in week 18. I certainly hope we have nothing like that in week 16 this week, where you literally have a game canceled. But if we did, we could come up with something for week 17, because week 17 has more integrity than week 18, which has very little integrity. Off the top of my head, I'm always looking at what might be that last game of the season on Sunday Night Football. Rams Seahawks or Vikings Lions for the number one seed. Those are the games. You're getting Eagles Commanders this week. Bucks and Falcons have already played twice. That's just the NFC. Buffalo already know what their deal is. They've already played Kansas City. So now let's get to David Montgomery, out for the year, a very productive fantasy running back, borderline RB1, very strong RB2. For those of you that have David Montgomery, who aren't blessed with riches like Captain Morgan in the coalition, you've probably been using him as Josh had all year, and now you have to replace him. First of all, this is a bump for Jahmyr Gibbs. So you now are optimistic going forward that Gibbs can give you even more. You might get more out of Amon-Ra St. Brown. You might get more out of Sam Laporta, who's shown signs in recent weeks. You might get more out of Jared Goff because there could be fewer running plays. I don't think Gibbs will get, should get all the snaps, but just to say they're going to run the ball just as much, probably not. Gibbs will get a bump, but the passing game should increase without Montgomery out there. Always tough to find a running back on waivers this time of year. If Ford is out there from Cleveland, might want to look into it, especially since it's probable we're going to see at least DTR to start the game for Cleveland, and Cleveland always gives Joe Burrow problems. This is a geographic rivalry game for the Battle of Ohio, and for whatever reason, it's an opponent, and as angry as Joe Burrow already is, that seems to bring out the worst in Burrow and the Bengals in the Burrow era. So Ford, if he's available in your leagues, might be worth taking a look at. You have any? There are other options out there, but that might be one. It's not like there's somebody else in Detroit. At least not that I'm aware of. It's going to be a lot of Gibbs and probably empty backfields for the Lions going forward. Nice job by Dan Campbell doing Dan Campbell things and, again, contributing. He just contributed to the Lions now being vulnerable to not win the NFC North. We look down the road at that game against the Vikings. I was listening to VEASAN earlier today because they had on my friend Nick Bakai, showrunner for Bookie on Max. And at one point, even in one of the promos, they talked about with all the Lions injuries, but I'll factor in with the Dan Campbell moves, the Lions, you can make an argument they're the third best team now in their own division. Because you saw what the Packers just did in Seattle, and they got hot this time last year and pushed that all the way to the NFC division playoffs, and were the first seven to ever beat a two in the current format with the boat race against the Dallas Cowboys. So that's my thought on David Montgomery and the issue there. The one other thing that I'll put in this podcast, looking back, we've had some big numbers the last couple of weeks. And for most of this year, we haven't had a lot of really big numbers from individual players in individual weeks. And the last 2 weeks, we're getting that. So in my leagues where we've been in the playoffs the last 2 weeks, it's been a huge determining factor. I don't know. Look, the last two Thursday nights, I've gotten goose eggs from a starter. Jaden Reed and then Cooper Kupp. Yeah. So if I was right there with all of you with Cooper Kupp. So two straight Thursday nights in a row. The only reason I overcame that in the first round to win when I had my top three, I had three quarterbacks on my roster on bye, top two running backs on bye. And Bucky Irving, nice job, Todd Bowles. He should have never been active. He should have been resting to do what he did against the Chargers the following week. So I took a zero with Jaden Reed, overcame it because of Zach Charbonnet's huge number, which he wasn't able to replicate the following week. But Josh Allen, for example, the last 2 weeks, right, just monster numbers as one example. Sam Darnold a week ago, Jared Goff this past week. Davante Adams saw this from somebody's Twitter X account that I follow. Davante Adams had more receiving yards in the last three, it was either in the last 3 minutes or the last 4 minutes of an NFL, regulation of an NFL game in history against the Jaguars to jump up and be wide receiver one, two strong weeks in a row out of nowhere for Davante Adams on the godforsaken New York Jets. But say this, and Jalen Hurts was and Devontae Smith were a big reason why I was beaten in the semifinals of the Foundation this week, as they put up for Smith a very big game. He had a good game the previous week, but biggest game of the year. At the expense of, ready? For those of you who rode any of the following into the fantasy playoffs and are out of the fantasy playoffs just like that, you probably had either Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, or Ja'Marr Chase. They got you there, and then they didn't help you. They didn't get you what they'd been giving you all year long. I was worried about Henry in that spot against the Giants. That played out, but I wasn't going to bench Derrick Henry. Just like, you're not going to bench these guys who've been doing it for you all year. All their teams won, and they just didn't get it done for you fantasy-wise. In my scoring settings, amazingly, none of those big three, Barkley, Henry, Chase, RB1, 2, wide receiver 1, we're talking. None of them in my scoring settings for last week were in the top 75 of all players. None in the top 75. So it's not just what they didn't give you. It's how many other players put up big numbers, and likely those one or more of those other players were on your opponent's team rather than on your team. So that's nothing we can control, right? It's very unfortunate for us that it happens in a playoff, fantasy playoff situation, because they've been so good all year. And then just when you have come to set it and forget it, they don't get you anywhere near what you even thought their floor was. And that's why I'd said all year, fantasy champions this year, we did a whole podcast on Barkley's remorse. Funny how it comes to an end, and how the Barkley, a lot of us who didn't draft Barkley are not going to make the same mistake again next year. However, those of you that did are going to remember how Barkley didn't get you in a game the Eagles won convincingly in the Battle of Pennsylvania. And it was Hurts, it was AJ, and it was Devontae. It was not Barkley. And you might be out of your fantasy playoffs because of it. And the same could be said about Derrick Henry's performance and Ja'Marr Chase. None in the top, and it's like the top seven. It's more than 75. I think it's 79. I think I got to Ja'Marr Chase at 80 in my scoring settings. All right, so get out in front for those of you, excuse me, in the fantasy playoffs. Again, I don't have time to answer your emails on Sunday. I have my own leagues. I have my own things going on. Get out in front of it. Look at your rosters now. You're going to make your waiver claims. Look at the matchups now. You're going to have an idea of the injuries. You know what you're doing here. Send me your questions during the week. And I'm going to give you another podcast looking ahead at week 16 games as well. I don't think we'll see Mahomes. But that's just my guess at this point. This week. And if they win this week without Mahomes, why play him 4 days later? Because you're still going to be two up on the Bills, who you have head-to-head with for the bye and the number one seed. Now, I'm not saying Patrick Mahomes has the impact on your fantasy lineups as other people, but it could impact Kelce, Hopkins, Pacheco. Notice Clyde Edwards-Helaire is gone. That was an interesting timed release. Anyway, write.todd@yahoo.com. Send me your fantasy questions earlier this week. Let's get in front of it rather than wait till the last minute. And we'll get you another podcast later this week as well. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thanks for listening. Good luck. We'll talk to you later in the week about Week 16 action.